بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب وقال تعالى فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون صدق الله العظيم وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama-i-kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, from amongst the innumerable bounties and favors of Allah Rabbul Izzah upon insan, is that Allah has made us ashraful makhlouqat, the best and the most capable of all His creation. And as a result of this, Allah has exclusively selected for us, over and above the rest of His creation, and Allah has blessed us with and endowed us with the attributes and the qualities of intellect, of aqal, of knowledge and understanding. When it comes to the animal kingdom, Allah has blessed them with life. Allah has blessed them with understanding to an extent. But beyond the scope of their creation, beyond the scope of the purpose of their creation, they are unable to operate. Their understanding, their so-called intellect is very limited. Yet, when it comes to insan, when it comes to man, the capacity of the brain, the capacity of the mind, and the capacity of the intellect that Allah has blessed us with, is such that 10 people could be sitting in a saf in the masjid, yet the minds and the brains of each person could be in a different part of the world. This is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a bounty of Allah upon us, that Allah has blessed us with these attributes. Of course, the pathway to intellect, to understanding, is ilm and knowledge in itself. It is a well-accepted fact, my dear brothers, when any manufacturer launches a new product, then it is the standout feature. It is the exclusive feature of that product that is marketed first. A cell phone manufacturer does not need to display the cell phone's ability to make or receive calls, to make or to send or receive messages. But when that device holds an exclusive quality, it has some feature that no other device has, then we find that will be the feature that is marketed at launch. Allah is free from comparison, Allah is free from any similarities. But we find the very first attribute of insan, of mankind, that was put on display to the rest of creation. At the very inception of the creation of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that attribute, that quality that was put on show, before everything else was the ilm, the knowledge of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The incident is well documented in Quran. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ The angels initially had expressed reservation. Oh Allah, are you going to create such a creation who will cause mischief in the earth? They will cause bloodshed. They will take the lives of one another. The angels were concerned. Allah wanted to display to them that by virtue of the intelligence, the intellect, and the knowledge that I bless man with, he will overcome these base inclinations and desires. And far from creating mischief, far from creating bloodshed, far from creating chaos in the world, he will become the closest of my creation to me. Allah teaches Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam the names of the essential items that he needed to know. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ And then to display the superior knowledge of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah now put the angels. فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَىٰ Allah instructs them that now you name and describe these items to me. The angels had not been tutored by Allah at that point with regard to these things. And they now realize that, oh Allah, we should not have questioned you. We should not have expressed any reservations before your decision. And then Allah turns to Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and instructs Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and he begins to now give off the information that he had received from Allah. The very first attribute, the very first feature, so to say, of insight for the rest of creation to see was the attribute, the quality of ilm, of knowledge. We can well imagine, my dear brothers, when this was a praiseworthy trait of man from his very inception, how this attribute will continue to remain praiseworthy till the end of time. And when it comes to the knowledge and the ilm that Allah has blessed us with, we can also well understand of the sources of knowledge being correct and being authentic. Ulama have written that when the source of knowledge is authentic and correct, the knowledge a person gains will be correct. His belief system will be correct. His actions and practice will be correct. And ultimately his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase. On the other hand, my dear brothers, if the source of knowledge is incorrect, if a person does not take an effort to verify the information he receives, especially when it comes to matters of deen, when it comes to matters pertaining to his iman and belief, when it comes to matters pertaining to his ibadat and acts of worship, if care is not taken in this regard, the knowledge received will be incorrect. The practice and amal that is dependent on this will be incorrect. His spirituality will be incorrect. And that person, far from gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his intention may be good. He perhaps is exerting himself in trying to please Allah, but far from receiving any closeness to Allah, he will just be distancing himself and moving further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we find the great scholar of Islam, Muhammad bin Sirin rahimahullah, it has been famously attributed to him that he would say, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ, that the knowledge that a person learns is the fulcrum, is the basis of his deen. He is unable to read salah without knowledge. He is unable to pay his zakat without knowledge. He is unable to please Allah without knowledge. And then he would caution, فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ, that, O people, be wary, be cautious, be on guard with regard to where you receive your deen. Where do you take your knowledge from? Why are we highlighting this, my dear brothers? In today's day and age, we find knowledge is at the fingertips of each and every one of us. Whereas perhaps 20, 30 years ago, the level of knowledge that the general masses would have had with regard to a number of subjects, a number of topics, may have been at a certain level. 20 and 30 years ahead, in the time that we now find ourselves in, that level has not just doubled or tripled, but perhaps is 10 or 20 times more than what it once was. But the challenge, my dear brothers, with this wealth of information that we have, and especially when it comes to our deen and our iman, what are the tools that we require to sift through this knowledge? And for a moment, let us understand a very important point. When it comes to hidayat and guidance, then the divine system of Allah Rabbul Izzah has not been for hidayat and guidance to be dependent on man alone. Neither has it been for hidayat and guidance to be dependent on scripture alone. Rather, Allah's divine system was always to send a divine scripture, a divine book, with instructions, with commandments, with prohibitions. But at the same time, the system of Allah was to send a Nabi to accompany that scripture, to unlock that scripture, to explain that scripture to the masses. So hidayat was never dependent on scripture alone. Hidayat was never dependent on man alone. It is a combination of the two that a person requires to be guided. And this system of Allah continued from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the final Nabi of Allah. The question that we have to pose to ourselves is, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left this world, we have Quran and Hadith in front of us. But is this sufficient? Is this enough? Is this the only thing that we require for our hidayat and guidance? Of course, Quran and Hadith are sufficient. But to gain a deeper understanding of Quran and Hadith, do we require something further? Do we require something else? And here we turn to Quran itself to instruct us on the matter. Allah Rabbul Izzah does not say, when it comes to matters of what is lawful and unlawful, what is permissible and impermissible, when it comes to questions that you have about your deen, Allah does not instruct us to recite the Quran ourselves. Rather, the instruction of Quran is very, very clear. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you lack the required knowledge, if you lack the required tools to understand Quran and Hadith directly, then Allah very clearly instructs us, ask the people of knowledge. Ask the people of knowledge. And in this, ulama explain is a very subtle indication. In today's AI generated age, Allah did not say, ask the source of information, but the people of information. True ilm, true knowledge will always be tied to living and beating hearts. It will not be tied to some computer program, or some zeros and ones, or some code that is written, but it will be tied to hearts in which there is iman that is pumping. It will be tied to the men of Allah, the men of ilm, the men of knowledge. How important it is, my dear brothers, for us to understand and appreciate this. And generally we do understand this. When it comes to decision making regarding our worldly aspects of our life, whether it be with regard to our health, whether it be with regard to our financial decisions, how careful are we to ensure that we take advice from verified sources? A person has inherited a sum of money and he is looking to make an investment, then how careful won't he be to ensure that he receives advice that is authentic, advice that is genuine, advice that will be profitable and beneficial to him? He will not just take advice from anywhere and from everyone, but he ensures he goes to the qualified people. A person's wife is in hospital, a person's child is unwell, Allah protect, Allah grant afiyat. But he will not just turn to the internet, self-diagnose, and now self-treat and self-medicate. In fact, if he does so, he may be held liable in a court of law. Why did you not refer the matter to someone qualified? We appreciate this principle. We understand this principle very well when it comes to our physical health. He won't just consult the specialist. He will take a second opinion, a third opinion. He'll perhaps consult a doctor that is even more learned overseas. He wants to ensure the treatment that he implements, the advice he receives, is genuine. How much more cautious should we not be, my dear brothers, when it comes to the sources of the knowledge of our deen? When it comes to matters and decision making with regard to our deen, how many a times we find, and in no way do we intend disrespect to anyone, but how many a times we find that a person offers his take or his view or his opinion on some mas'ala of deen, whereas that very same person in all likelihood is unable to write his own name in the Arabic language. Understand this much, my dear brothers. That vehicle that is serviced by a backdoor mechanic, someone who is not qualified, he does not have the right tools, he is somebody who is just winging it, he's trying his best but he lacks the required skills, and you may send your car to him to save a little bit on the cost of repairs, that vehicle that is serviced in such a way, then expect that exhaust to start smoking. Expect that engine to seize. Expect that gearbox to start troubling. Do not expect that vehicle to give you mileage. It was not serviced at the correct garage, the correct mechanic. A person says, I rather spend the money, service my vehicle at the agents, because it will give me mileage. I'll get the money back. It will give me longevity. That deen that is serviced by a backdoor source, where a person just turns to the internet and he does not bother verifying the source of the information. Who is behind it? What are the credentials of the person speaking or the website that he is visiting? Has there been any study involved? Has the person been approved by his peers or by the contemporary ulama around him? But just because it has a deeni flavor or there's some quotation in Arabic, a person now becomes overawed and he begins to take his deen from such sources. When we look into the lives of the Salafus Salihin, Allahu Akbar, understand how cautious they were, my dear brothers. Imam Malik rahimahullah, one of the great imams of fiqh, it is mentioned regarding him. He says, I observed my teacher, my ustad, Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah, 2 consecutive years during the season of Hajj. I observed his character. I observed the way he conducted himself. On the 3rd Hajj, I would see him sitting near the well of Zamzam. And I noticed whenever the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken, he would begin to cry. It is only when I noticed this amount of taqwa within him that I felt content to narrate hadith from him, to take knowledge from him. But prior to this, I did not feel that I could take knowledge from such a person. I had to verify not just the presentation, not just the language, not just the fancy sound effects behind it, not just the number of views or followers or subscribes, but the substance behind it, the character behind the person, the taqwa behind him, the sacrifice behind him. Our grandfathers and great-grandfathers, my dear brothers, they would refer their matters of deen to the local alim. They knew him, they knew his parents, they knew his background. They had witnessed the years of service he gave to the community. They had witnessed his dedication. They knew he was not there for any ulterior motive. They were able to vouch for his sincerity. And they were content taking their deen from him. They were content taking deeni advice from him. How unfortunate it is that today we overlook the sacrifice of these ulama we have amongst us. And we have many senior ulama in our midst who have given years and years of sacrifice selflessly. They have given themselves their health, their time, at times sacrificing their time with their own wives and children to give service to the community. How unfortunate, my dear brothers, that we are prepared to compare that to some clip or video or post on social media that has not been verified, that has not been authenticated, that lacks any scholarly backing behind it. Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah himself, we mentioned Imam Malik rahimahullah and how strict he was in taking and narrating from Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani. Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani himself, it is mentioned about him that he would kana yaduru shahran, he would observe a person for up to 1 month at a time. Observe his salah, observe his fasting, observe his speech, observe his character. And only once he was satisfied that this person is selfless, he is a friend of Allah, he is close to Allah, he is not here for any ulterior motive, then only would he narrate from him. Likewise, there are incidents upon incidents of the Salafus Salihin and the level of verification and authentication that they would go to. And it is because of this, my dear brothers, it is because of these strict checks and balances that were put in place that we have a preserved and pristine deen that has been kept till our time. Had it not been for this, Allah alone knows the level of distortion, the level of fabrication, the level of change that we would have had to endure in our deen. In the very same way, my dear brothers, we have a duty to the next generation. We have a duty to the next generation to ensure that we do our part in ensuring that deen continues to be transmitted in this manner. That we do not just accept all and sundry when it comes to the matters of our deen. In today's time, we have to be extremely careful, especially when it comes to artificial intelligence. And this is not to say that it does not have its benefits. Yes, there are a great number of benefits to it. And a person uses it in the correct manner, it can be very beneficial to him. But if it is not used responsibly, if it is not done under the guidance of the ulama, then it stands to take a person to the brink of destruction. And how ironic that artificial intelligence itself states and is ready to accept the fact that knowledge cannot be taken solely from it. One person poses the question to the AI, that tell me, you have the entire world of knowledge with you, and you are capable of responding in such a quick period of time. Is there any need for specialists anymore? Is there any need for specialists in the medical fraternity, for specialists in the financial fraternity, for specialists in the dini fraternity and ulama fraternity? And ironically, the response, and what a profound response. It says, when it comes to knowledge, and specifically the knowledge of deen, this is something that goes hand in hand with taqwa and ikhlas, with the fear of Allah and sincerity for the sake of Allah. And that is, those are two qualities that no robot or computer can have. How important, my dear brothers, that we understand and realize this. We have ulama-i kiram in our midst. We have those who have been selfless for generations. Do not allow ease of access to knowledge. Look, these diamonds and pearls that we have amongst us. Let us also endure to this rigorous and strict level of authentication, verification, of checks and balances put into place, especially when it comes to decision making with regard to our deen. At the end of the day, it is our akhirat that is dependent upon this. It is our iman that is dependent upon this. It is our ibadat that is dependent upon this. Allah give us the understanding, Allah give us the realization. The hadith that we mentioned in the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَاعًا. Allah will not snatch knowledge away directly. Allah will not suddenly cause the libraries of the world to be burnt, or the books that are in the world to suddenly go missing and disappear. In other words, the words will still remain. The pages will still remain. In today's time, the cloud storage will still remain. وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. But when Allah wants to take away true knowledge, knowledge that translates into practice, that translates into the pleasure of Allah, then Allah will do this by taking away the people of knowledge. حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يُبْقِ عَالِمًا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prophesied a time will come when Allah will not leave a single man of knowledge in this world. اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا. People will then turn to ignorant sources for their knowledge. Those ignorant sources will be asked questions. فَأَفْتَوْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. They will readily give answers and verdicts without having any genuine knowledge. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. Those sources of knowledge, be they be misguided scholars, be they be those who are impersonating scholars, but who have not studied in their lives, or be it some computer or some program, they themselves will be astray, and they will mislead others and take them astray. One objection that is generally raised, and we'll terminate on this. Generally, if an alim has to mention what I have mentioned, people will say, Maulana, this is nothing but gatekeeping. You just want to ensure your fraternity is protected. Understand this much, my dear brothers. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for this. That there should be gatekeeping of ilm. It is only the people of knowledge who are qualified to speak with regard to dini matters. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made such a dua that, O Allah, I do not want to live to see such a time where the ulama are not followed, where the people of knowledge are not followed. Allahumma la yudrikni zaman, la yuttaba'u fihi al-alim. O Allah, do not let me live to see such a time when the knowledgeable person, his word is not taken. وَلَا يُسْتَحْيَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَلِيمِ. And the hadith goes on. What is the lesson, my dear brothers? What is the message for us to take back? Despite the technological advancements around us, despite the ease of access to information around us, yes, these tools are very useful, very beneficial. And they without a doubt make our lives easier. They have streamlined the way we run our businesses. They have streamlined the way we look at healthcare. And yes, they have also in some way benefited and aided us with regard to our deen as well. But we cannot rely solely and only on these means and sources. The deen of Allah and the preservation and protection of the deen of Allah will forever till the day of Qiyamah, as we mentioned, be tied in such a way that the knot cannot be undone to those hearts that are beating and pumping with iman. The hearts of the ulama, the people of ilm, the people of knowledge, and the people who hold a close link and relationship with Allah. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.